Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, before we get started, is there anything you don't want us to bring up, Tynan?
No, everything is a fair game, dude.
Okay, you're gonna regret that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf and Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I am having a rip-rocking good time watching some animal cruelty PSAs in honor of our topic today. Not to spoil it, but that was the last thing I did before we started recording. So I'm literally looking right now. If I look over at my TV, there's just like a very sad cat looking back at me.
Yeah, but you like that kind of shit. Sick fuck. I want to point out, I thought we were recording and we weren't, but off mic, Tommy started to ask me how my trip is going, and then so goes, oh wait, I'll wait till we're on, because as he said, he doesn't want to spend one second of our conversation just for the two of us.
Nothing private.
Nope, we got to be making all kinds of cash off of our banter. I am in New Orleans, as some people call it. Apparently, say Nawlins, and apparently people here don't say that, and they're very offended by people doing that. So I'm trying to stop. I feel like shit, and I've been eating and drinking seemingly nonstop for 4 days, and just completely forgot that we have a podcast, and remembered... We're releasing this a day late. I apologize, because I thought that it was the weekend all week. So that's what's going on over here. I went to a voodoo museum yesterday.
Ooh.
And what's funny is, so the voodoo museum is two rooms, very shittily composed, about the history of voodoo. And most of the plaques have the same misspelled information on all of them. And it costs $10 to get in. We went to the Jazz Museum, which is like a giant building with all this cool shit in it and like all these great exhibits, and that was $8. Also, the Voodoo Museum is the only place that strictly enforced the mask policy, which I was grateful for, because everywhere else here is like it's like the Wild West. But I'm excited to this was a weird city to listen to Sarah McLachlan in. Let's introduce our guest here.
Yes, so excited. Yeah, one of my favorite people to talk about music with, and I saw him recently. He was like, we got to talk about the Sarah McLachlan album. I'm like, thank the Lord, because no one else has pitched her, and it seems like someone we should talk about. I love this guy, Tynan DeLong, aka Tyno.
Hey,
Tyno, you can call me Tyno, man. I love it. I thought of a fun name for you guys as well. You know, anyone ever called you a TNT Music Factory?
I'm
thinking that's what I want to call you guys.
Change
the name of the damn podcast.
We just made a new t-shirt. Oh, wait, we did just make a new t-shirt. I forgot we were going to have merch available soon. Our buddy Trey made t-shirts, but you know what? We might have to throw those in the trash and get this TNT.
We have thousands of them that we are just going to throw away for this
overseas.
New idea.
No, let's throw them away. Don't want to confuse anybody. We're grateful that this is what we're talking about today. I don't know. I'm shocked nobody's ever pitched her before.
I'm not. I think Sarah McLachlan's flying under everyone's radar, and it's time she gets some due respect. Mm-hmm. It's time to give McLachlan her flowers. I say, yes. You know, I've had it up to here with the lack of McLachlan respect, and I am so excited to talk about her. There's lots of people I could have talked about, but I'm going with McLachlan. That's the one. Now I gotta I got to come up, come clean up top. I'm kind of mostly a fan of one Sarah McLachlan album. I'm not a career long fan of Sarah McLachlan. So I don't know how many people come on the podcast kind of with a one album wonder kind of deal. But
I mean, one album is better than most. People are coming on here knowing two songs. People don't have songs. Two songs and half an anecdote. Talking about, let's talk for an hour.
and then people get mad at us for waffling. We got to. By the way, just a warning, if you guys hear screaming in the background, it's Shane Torres doing a podcast in the room next door. He did say to say hello, by the way.
Shane Train?
Yeah.
Throw him a fat hello from me. We call him Shane Train. It's a fun nickname.
It's good. I like it. I don't know how you came up with it, but it's good.
I don't think I did, but you know, pretend like you did, but what's up, Shane? I'm enthused to talk about Sarah, and thank you guys for letting me talk about her.
Of course, we're excited to get into it. So you said that it's one album that go for, and that album is called what is that album called?
It's called 1997 Surfacing Baby.
Yes, there it is.
It's the big one.
It's the one.
It's the one for me. This dropped in 97. At that time, I was listening to strictly hip hop and electronica. And this is the big electronica boom in 97. So Daft Punk, you know, Chemical Brothers, Prodigy, and then just tons of hip hop. And so really my listening habits didn't extend much outside of that, except for Surfacing. Surfacing got me. And I think this is the only album that my mother and I could enjoy. I think this is the only album that I listened to during my high school duration that the two of us were on the same page about. And, you know, I think this is the late 90s, you know, it was a hot time for what I'm going to call mom rock. You know, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but you know, you had you got your Sarah McLachlan, your Sheryl Crow, Sean Colvin, Jewel,
Lisa Loeb, my girl,
Lisa Loeb, you know, basically the entire Lilith Fair lineup, you know, it's just popping off at this time, and you know, I think this out of that bunch, Sarah McLachlan Surfacing was the one that just grabbed me, hooked me, and I love it. I love it so much. I think it's a tremendous album, and I don't think it gets, you know, the due respect that it deserves. I, you know, no one's doing like, you know, 20-year commemorative pieces on Surfacing. You know, I've never seen, you know, Bon Iver do a cover of a Sarah McLachlan song, or, you know, I think it needs that bump. I think, you know, Lana Del Rey or the Fleet Foxes or someone from the indie community needs to do a cover of a Sarah McLachlan song to give it that bump and make heads aware that, hey, she's a great songwriter. She's got some great songs. Oh, and, you know, I think that would make me happy. So, you know, I do think she, this album in particular kind of gets swept under the rug in the critical canon. And I think it's a banger.
Really fast, just because you brought it up already.
Yeah.
Lilith Fair. I did not know she founded Lilith Fair. And I found this great list of fun 10 fun facts for Sarah McLachlan's 50th birthday. And one of them was she's the founder of Lilith Fair, and the way this is written, I really like, but so Lilith Fair took place over the summers of 97 to 99. In addition to a 2010 revival, the festival raised over $10 million for women's charities, putting ladies on the map.
It's about time. Put them on the map.
Come on there.
That's so funny. I was watching this like documentary about her, and I mean, obviously it was a different time in the sense that like I loved all that type of music, but like she was pointing out that all these radio stations had a rule where they would never play two women back to back, like all the so like she kind of started, first she went on a tour that was just her and Paula Cole double headlining, and it like sold really well. And then that kind of was like the thing of like, yeah, this is stupid. Like people will pay to see women, only women, and end up making a festival that when I look at those lineups, I'm like, this would be the greatest day of my life.
What I was getting to is this is Tommy is a Lilith Fair maid. Like it's, this is all music that he plays. Like if you're hanging out with Tommy late enough, you will hear this music, everybody on this list at some point in the night.
We got to be hanging out more, Tommy, I say, because this is my wheelhouse as well. It's those lineups are insane. I mean, you got Dido, a young Dido on the second stage, you know, and second stage. I was reading like an interview with her in Rolling Stone, and she's talking about there's kind of a stir up around the Lilith Fair. People are arguing for a lack of diversity in terms of getting more men on, getting men on the lineup, put them on the map. And,
wait, was no one on the map before?
No one's on the map.
It's a blank map.
A whole new map. Yep. Very useless map.
Yeah. And so I guess she was waffling a bit, like, gosh, should I have men on the Lilith Fair tour? And ultimately decided no.
Yeah, that, at some point, that's just a regular old festival.
No dudes allowed in the Lilith Fair. But yeah, I mean, if I could go back to and go to one concert from the 90s, I think that would be it.
That's so much bang for your buck there too.
It's insane. That main stage lineup? Yeah, the Cardigans were in there.
Oh, love the Cardigans.
Yeah, you're gonna have a good time. That's a nice time. We have a voicemail. We have a segment to get to here before we start listening to music.
All right.
This is a popular seg. People like this seg a lot. This is where we hear from friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson. It's he's our resident snob of the show. He's our biggest hater. He usually hates everything we listen to unless it's an appreciation. I'm curious what I have a feeling if I had to guess what Jared's going to say, it's going to have something to do with Toy Story. He's a big Pixar head.
Toy Story 2, right?
She sings the Jesse songs beautifully, hauntingly, nominated for an Oscar, I believe, lost to Phil Collins. But I'm curious. So here's They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? This week's went to Jared, the boys.
Defending
Sarah McLachlan. I assume we're back to a defense because I don't think that Sarah McLachlan is certainly like a beloved by everyone artist, but certainly she's not like one of the worst, you know, it's not like she's terrible, but I probably fit along with most people, which is it's definitely melodramatic and, you know, I think most people, she sort of almost inadvertently, probably for her love of animals, became a punchline because of the ASPCA commercial or whatever. But for me personally, like I'm almost contractually obligated to like any song in a Pixar movie. And When Somebody Loved Me from Toy Story 2, it's too much. Like, it's one of the only times in the sort of sad Pixar moment pantheon, whether we're talking about, you know, Coco or Up, where it feels manufactured. And I think that that's part of the problem is that like she did the other thing with the Pets ad, and so that makes it feel that way again. But you know, I think all in all it's fine. Like, I guess she can sing. I don't know, it's not like, you know Third Eye Blind or something where like you just can't sing. But it's just kind of, I don't know, over the top. Anyway, all right. Well, I haven't talked to you guys in a while and hope you're doing well and love you guys. Thanks.
All right. That was Jared. I know my man. I knew that Pixar would come in. I'm surprised to hear him say that about the song being too much, where it's like, I love that song. I will say it is maybe the saddest Pixar song. It's very depressing and it's tough, but it's written by Randy Newman and I think she sings it very well and I think her voice is great. Don't really understand the shot at Third Eye Blind in there. That just seemed like a gut punch. Didn't really need it. What do you think about what Jared said?
You know, I don't I don't know if he goes in on bands usually like super hard. I felt like that was relatively tame. The main thing I'm going to take issue with is saying, I guess she can sing. Player, of course she can sing. She has one of the most angelic voices of the 90s. Yes, she can sing. That's the cornerstone for Sarah for me. Is that mm-hmm. beautiful?
Yeah.
I believe it's a mezzo-soprano voice. My Wikipedian serves correct.
Yeah, she's a Carmela soprano, and I think it's like really beautiful.
That is great.
And she does have an incredible voice, though, listening to those songs today. I mean, I feel like that's indisputable.
Yes.
I'm also going to take issue with Over the Top, but I'm assuming that's due to kind of our collective idea of Sarah McLachlan due to I Will Remember You and mm-hmm. an Angel and those adoption ads. Because I feel like when you mention Sarah McLachlan, you're either going to think of one of those two things first. And so I understand that, but I think digging a little deeper into her work, you'll find that she's anything but over the top. I think surfacing is a masterclass in austerity. It's a very minimal album, and I think she keeps it quite hushed. And so I'm gonna say fuck that shit too. And go fuck yourself, Jared.
I'm
just kidding. I don't know you.
I will say, I think you're the first person to ever call Jared player. and also that is kind of tamer. I think he's losing his edge. He's not been going in the way that he once did. Maybe he's softening up.
Well, that's the thing about Sarah McLachlan. She's so kind and so like. Yes. Such a giving person, and she has this huge history with like philanthropy and charity mm-hmm. and starting these music schools in Canada, and she's just such a great person that the only thing people can bully her about is an ad she did for adopting dogs. I mean, it's like that's all.
Also, she didn't edit the commercials. She made this song. Like
she took all those pictures.
They made the videos so sad. She didn't do that. Yeah. I don't think.
And she's gone back and said that they're cringe.
Yeah,
they're cringe to her. Actually, she's backtracked. But
those animals kind of deserve to be
there. Oh, really, I found one really good quote I wanted to read from her about it, though. While we're talking about that again, but she said, "I got a whole new audience out of those commercials. I swear, I'd be at Target in Missouri at 10 o'clock at night, getting off the tour bus. I'd be going down the aisle, and two little old ladies would be like, 'Are you that dog lady?'" Which I think is so
funny. That's brutal.
That's such a harsh thing to hear.
I heard that the dogs on the shoot were very difficult to work with because they were the adopted rescue dogs, that they were very skittish, and she wanted to bring her own dogs on set because these dogs too tough to work with. So just a little backstory on the dog situation of that commercial, in case you was wondering. Yeah, doggy diva sitch. Yeah, get those dogs out of there.
Get these fucking dogs out of here. It is tough. Like, it's impossible to talk about her without talking about those commercials. And it's like, it became a very hacky joke, I feel like, in the
totally.
2000s. You'd hear a lot of jokes about the over the topness of those. But, at the end of the day, it's cool that she did that. And it's only a credit to her. I do want to play the song. So you gave us the playlist here. Do you have a preference of order of what song?
I mean, if we're talking about the ad, you could go.
I feel like
there's an angel in there.
And there's also angel in there. There's a story about that song that I found that's great. So here's some of Angel.
Stark cold hotel.
Just three dudes silently listening to Angel on Zoom.
That's a thing.
You know? So I guess that's a thing.
2021 sucks.
This was not on my bingo calendar. Guy who doesn't get it.
So in this list of fun facts about Sarah McLachlan, I found that this is what this says. It says she saved a member of Run DMC from committing suicide. Daryl DMC McDaniels, the other member of the pivotal rap group Run DMC, credits Sarah McLachlan's song Angel for lifting his spirits when he was considering committing suicide. The two collaborated on the unlikely duet, Duet Like Me.
It's Just Like Me. There's a typo in that list.
Oh, so you saw this too?
I searched Duet Like Me and figured out what happened.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so that song saved a member of Run DMC's life. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, originally, I guess the song was written about the drummer for Smashing Pumpkins who overdosed on heroin. Or I guess he was partial inspiration, and you know, just about the idea of needing an escape from life when you feel so depressed. Can't take it anymore.
So it's a beautiful story, but I the song that they collaborated on as a result of this like beautiful touching story is it's not it, Chief.
That ain't it, Chief. It's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Can we play a little bit, Tom? I sent it in the Instagram DM. Yes. And then I have another Angel fact I want to give that is very relative to this show.
Oh, is this on the? Oh, you put it in there. Okay, my bad. I didn't realize you were.
Oh, well, while you're pulling it up, so you know who plays the upright bass on this song?
Don't who?
It is Jim Cregan of Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
Yeah. Stand by your band, right there.
There you go. Okay, here's Just Like Me with DMC. Immediately bad.
As I walk through the corners of Cooley High, I gotta be thankful that I'm still alive. I have a lot of thoughts like, who the hell am I? What is the truth and what is a lie? But I think about my life and everything is okay. I gotta pave a way to a brighter day. Cause it's really plain and simple when it came to me. There's a lot of people just like me. There's a whole lot just like me.
There it is.
I love it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That is insane.
There it is. You know, I said it in the DM thread, yes. But still only the second worst Cats in the Cradle cover I've heard. Ugly Kid Joe sitting in number one still. I don't know if anyone remembers Ugly Kid Joe, Cats in the Cradle, but
I don't.
You know, hey, do yourself a favor. YouTube some of these guys' videos. The video for Everything I Hate About You is quite a trip. Oh, you'll have fun. It's the most 90s shit I can think of. But we're veering off course. Got to stick to the McLachlan route here. That song wouldn't be in my pro column on the McLachlan scoreboard.
I felt like we had to play it. It's so funny. Yeah, Run DMC being part of like the biggest rock rap collaboration ever with the Aerosmith Walk This Way, and then I was like, oh, we can get that magic going again. Me and Sarah.
That is incredible. That I get it.
Did that ever end up on anything, or was that just kind
that
of
that is on Rarities, B-Sides, and Other Stuff, Volume 2?
I didn't even make Volume 1.
That's a pretty deep cut.
Yep, that's about as deep as a cut can get. That's you're going to want to go to the hospital.
That's a gash, brother.
Beautiful song, though. The Angel, not...
Yeah, Angel's amazing. I mean... Yeah.
I think I love Angel. I mean, if you can separate it from the context of that adoption ad and just kind of appreciate it on its own and within the context of the album, I think it works a lot better. I mean, it's just her and a piano. I really like the way that song in particular is produced. I mean, that piano sounds gorgeous. Her voice is in tip-top shape. I mean, it's a beautiful song if you let yourself go there and can kind of, you know, take off the mask of irony for a little bit. It's kind of, yeah, beautiful song.
It was one of the go-to 90s somber songs. Yes. In a way that, like, I just think of, like, being at, like, memorials and stuff, and it's like, this is one of the songs we can play.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you get to say it's, like, religious too, if it's a religious thing, because they say the word angel, so you can plug it in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she kind of keeps her songs pretty broad in general. So it definitely does serve those, like, contexts fairly well. I will say of, like, you know, Angel and I Will Remember You, the two most overplayed McLaughlin songs, I got to go Angel. And, you know, I don't know where you guys are landing, but that's going to be my vote.
I think I agree with that. I'm with you on that one. Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one, but I Will Remember You, I think, I don't know which one would be the more, I wonder what the people's choice would be on that.
Yeah. Hey, tweet at us. what is the people's choice in the classic battle?
I mean, this is some people are thinking about constantly.
Of course. I mean, I'm sure that everybody had a knee-jerk reaction. They're like, yeah, we talk about this every day.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I was shocked that, because I Will Remember You isn't in her top five on Spotify, which obviously isn't
a total reflection.
But right now, I know, and that kind of shifts whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not on there right now.
Oh, and that's
Angel
wild.
Has 126 million, but we can't see the number on.
Damn.
Angel's the big most listened to song of hers, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Of them listed. Yeah.
Of on Spotify. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I'm shocked to not see I Will Remember You. I mean, I feel like that's her signature song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going Angel, though. We're an Angel squad.
We're This is an Angel household, you know?
All right, let's hear another song here, and I'll just go down the list here.
Okay. Now, we're getting into the surfacing song.
Yeah, let's hear surfacing.
You know what? Can I just say, okay, I love surfacing so much, but I gotta say, it starts off with my least favorite song. Because I gotta say, I'm not really a building a mystery head, and I know that that's like one of her most popular songs.
Yeah,
it never really did it for me, and it definitely wasn't the song on the album that drew me in. You know, so I gotta say, you know, if you can get past building a mystery, then the rest of the album is like no skip central.
I was actually surprised by that, and I was going to ask you about it just because, you're sending six songs from this album, and this is like the big number one single.
It's the big banger.
They played it twice during the documentary.
Oh, really?
About Sarah McLaughlin. It gets double played.
Yeah, Beatles dropped that shit twice, you know. I get it.
And it's, I like that song personally, but.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I don't think it's a bad song by any means. I do think it, of the songs on the album, it's the one that probably sounds the most dated production-wise. I think there is something about it that sounds like very 1997, whereas the rest of the album doesn't. Did you know she uses the phrase Rastaware in that song?
No.
I never noticed that.
I didn't either until I looked at the lyrics. She's dropping the phrase Rastaware. How'd she sneak that by me? She says Rasta in a way. It's like, you don't hear, your ears do not hear the word Rasta. It's just like, you know, points for her for sneaking that phrase into that song. But but building a mystery, you know, I think it's all right. It's a little too... that one's a little too big for me to really get on board with, but you know, it's the big hit off of that album.
I forgot about that song. I just had to do a little listen of it to remember what it was. But
building a mystery.
Now I know, and now I'm refreshed. I feel refreshed too.
Mystery solved.
That should have been in every episode of Mayor of Easttown. Yep. And it's my cover where it goes solving a mystery. And everyone hates it. Me and Run DMC.
All right. Shall we hear some music?
Okay. We can hear some music. I'm going to say, I got a lot of thoughts on this
please,
album.
Yeah,
I'll say
please,
you kick off this album with the second track, I Love You, then which runs into Sweet Surrender, which runs into Adia. And that's like one of the best three song runs on an album like of the 90s or ever. In my book, I just like, that's the sweet spot for me. Mm-hmm. I think that those are, what a trifecta. And then the four song the next song Do What You Have to Do is really good too. But I'm saying cream of the crop right there at those top three songs.
The meat of the lineup.
For me, it's the meat, baby. I mean, this is the T-bone steak of this album.
And apologies to the ASPCA.
Yeah.
This is your KB Rizzo Javi Baez lineup. This is
exactly.
All right.
So which one are you going to play first?
So I think we should do the run you just said. I think
let's start with I Love You.
Let's start with I Love You and see how it feels.
All right.
It feels to just start with I Love You. And
bliss out, baby.
Drive right into Sweet Surrender. All right. Here it is. Here's I Love You.
Noticed you let that one go on a little longer than the other ones. I think you were really into it.
I started it too early. I messed up.
I think you were just really into it.
I was into it.
Play the whole song. But what that song sounds like a cloud, man. It is, it's all texture and atmosphere and just this like, this like ambient, like white noise that's just like beautiful. And her voice sounds like so ethereal and ghostly. Mm-hmm. And this song is just floating, man. I think this is like the one song that's like, it sound like it could have dropped now. I mean, this is like a timeless song, in my opinion. One of the best love songs ever. It's just simply an incredibly beautiful song. She really outdoes herself on this one. I think it's like the high water mark of the album.
It's also when you think of Sarah McLachlan, you're thinking of like just a piano and singing, or you're thinking or the more like mid-tempo guitar based stuff. But this was like a sound that I had not heard from her because I'd never listened to this full album. And it is like, it's very out of time with the 90s in a good way, I think.
It's super dreamy. And again, like credit to the production on this album, because, you know, that takes her in a direction.
It was Phil Spector who did it, right?
It was. Yeah, Philly came out.
Came out of prison.
To Vancouver. Yeah. He escaped, dropped in, did this album.
He escaped.
Went back to prison, escaped back into prison afterwards.
No one even noticed. That's how beautiful.
But yeah, man, I mean, you know, that's the Sarah McLachlan that people aren't going to discover if, you know, if they're just thinking she sounds like, you know, I will remember you. So I think it's, I say start there if you want to like get into what she's got going on otherwise.
I think that's a solid start.
I think a start.
Let's say you fucked around and you started with I Love You and then you just rode right into Sweet Surrender.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's just take it like that. Let's do it.
Let's go.
This one I'm skipping forward.
When it comes back in, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful. You skipped to one of my favorite parts too. That breakdown where she says, "I miss everything about you." Yeah. That breaks my heart. Mm. And then it's everything like drops out. You can just like hear like the guitar string like being touched, and that's such like a beautiful sonic like detail in that song. Yeah. I was thinking that this song is like, I call this the 1979 of 1997. 1979, I'm referencing the Smashing Pumpkins song, because it's a song that moves along very similarly in this, like, it's got this like forward momentum, but it's like very hushed and like whispered. Yeah. It has this like kind of chill to it, but it's like got a velocity. And I think, you know, it's both those songs have like a similar energy, and they kind of like rely on these like sonic details that propel the song in a beautiful direction. I think, you know, Sweet Surrender is, what else can you say? It's a classic song, you know?
I would not want to hear Billy Corgan cover it though.
Stay away, Billy.
Don't do it. Billy, no.
There's
Billy, no.
Billy, no. Billy?
No, I can't do it.
What do you do with that guitar, Billy?
Please.
Billy, back off. You know, that, that was the song that was the second single off the album. And that was the one that I heard where I was like, I'm buying this album. I got to get this album. This is it. I love this song. This is the one that drew me in. This should have been the first single if I had my way. But, you know, but that's like the definitive version to me. Cause if you see like, cause I saw like a live version she did on Tonight Show around the time. It's not as good, man. They're making it sound like taking it too many like different make kind of like an upbeat thing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of loses the sensuous cool that version has. So Sweet Surrender album version, definitive in my book. Definitive.
It's canon.
Case closed. Case closed, baby. Solving a mystery right there.
This next one, Tom, will you start this next one at 30 seconds in, just because I want to make sure we get to a chorus on this.
Okay.
This is my favorite from the list. I had not heard it as of this Sunday, and I love it. So
which one was it again? Is it Witness or Full?
Adia.
All right, here we go. I spoiled the list a little bit, but that's all right. Here's Adia.
All right.
Left a finger. There's no one here to blame. Damn.
Oh, baby.
I love it so much.
Baby.
That's very.
Tommy, you had never heard that song until Sunday?
No, until you brought it up on Sunday at the park. Oh, yeah? I was like, I got to listen to this song. And immediately it was like, this is my shit 100%.
Yeah.
Like, this is somewhat. And I love the chord progression. Vocals are amazing. The melody's so cool. I'm so all in on it. It's so good.
That's great. I think for this song, I'd say it's the Tiny Dancer of the 90s. That's like screaming to be used in a movie and have like a group of people sing along.
Yes.
You know, this is a song I want to like sing with a bunch of people in a bar at like 2 a.m. I think it's such a great song to sing along to. I can't listen to the song once. Like if I play, I have to like listen to it 3 or 4 times in a row because
it just
means that much to me. I mean, this is one of those songs that has unlimited replay value. I'll never get sick of this song. I haven't yet, you know, and I don't intend on doing so. This song has this song has one of the best lines, which is there's no one left to finger. And every time she says that, I gotta have to do a little Sarah.
The comments in the this video are people arguing because no one left a finger means no one left to blame. But boy, does it not sound like that?
You gotta say the blame part first so people know where you're going.
My mind's going straight in the gutter with that one. But it's a phenomenal, beautiful song that I think, you know, the verses have a little bit of like a tinge of melancholy to them. Mm-hmm. Then that chorus kicks in.
Oh, yeah.
All joy. It's all hope. It's all optimism.
So good.
It's just a perfectly balanced song.
Oof. Now, by the time you get to this part of the album on this new version, you are cooking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I know I put Witness in there, but I was thinking I kind of like Do What You Have to Do a little bit better. I wish I put that one instead.
Can we do
a live switch?
You can do a live switch. I mean, okay. It's never been done before. It's never been
unprecedented. Changing the game.
Work. Let's see if I wait. What's it called? You said Do What You Have to Do.
Yeah. So this one's on Surfacing. It's right after Adia.
Okay. All right. We're switching it up. Right after Adia.
Yes.
We're gonna hear Do What You Have to Do. Here it is.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it up.
Fate has led you through it. You do what you have to do. My hand says to recognize that I don't know how to let you go. Every moment marked with apparitions of your soul.
This is another beautiful piano ballad from Miss McLaughlin. And I got to say, the opening line of this song is up there with David Berman's Random Rules. It's like one of my favorite like opening lines to a song. Yeah, in 1984, I was hospitalized for perfection. Yeah. I'm going to say the opening line of this song is on par with that. It says, "What ravages of spirit conjured this tempestuous rage?" That's like some Shakespeare shit to me. I mean, this is an incredible opening line. And, you know, it is a beautiful song about, you know, not being able to be with the person you want to be with. And, you know, it's pretty broad, but, you know, it's a very universal, like, feeling you can, you know, cling on to. And, gosh, I love the melodies in this song. I love where her voice goes in the chorus. And, okay. I mean, this breaks my heart every time.
Beautiful. All right. So that leaves us with one song left here.
We got one song. We
got one left. Do you want to stick with what you you came in with, or you got another switcheroos for us?
Now, what I thought, we kind of ran through them all, because we did Angel. Yep. We did those four songs.
Witness is the last one, or
no, he switched
out. Full Witness, of Grace.
Full of Grace.
Full of Grace. I put on there. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Let's talk about any of it.
Okay. Here's Full of Grace.
Winter is cold and bitter. It's chill us to the bone. I haven't seen the sun for weeks. Too long to. I'm singing, and I claw for solid ground. Pull down early in the time. Never thought I could feel so low. Oh, darkness, I feel like letting.
Now, this is the first time on the album she's really dipping into the strings. She kind of just held off for like 9 tracks, but on this penultimate track, she introduces a string arrangement into the mix and does it so beautifully and delicately. You know, I just, this is one of those, that chorus is killer. I feel like you could have slipped, like someone could have sung this in Toy Story. You know, I think it's got that kind of vibe to it, but. Yeah, I mean, just another stunner. The way she says, like, chilled me to the bone. The way she says bone just kills me. Yeah, it's a really beautiful song.
What's that line? There's no one left a finger, no one left a bone.
Sneaky Sarah, she's naughty. Naughty girl. Naughty Sarah. Naughty
Sarah. But stay away, Billy.
Billy, get out of here! Naughty Sarah.
Please, don't do it.
Before we get to the comments from the peanut guy, I really quick had one YouTube comment I wanted to read from the documentary I watched about her. I just didn't want to let this go before I forgot about it. So this documentary was made in 2004, but they only uploaded it to YouTube in May of 2020. Very strange timing. Weird. To be thinking about Sarah McLachlan.
Yes.
But one of the comments says, Sarah McLachlan was born from God. Literally, God brainwashes her when she writes her music. I never seen someone make just stunning music.
Brainwashes her. That sounds like some cult stuff.
It's like terrifying. God brainwashes her. And then she writes a song.
Literally, God waterboards her. And then.
That's God's pretty, Sir Tynomite.
He doesn't need to brainwash anyone. It's all powerful. Why would he need to brainwash anyone? If that reminds me of a YouTube comment I saw on the Adia music video, which was this guy said, "I'm 37 and I'm still listening to Sarah." I was like, That's the perfect age to be listening to Sarah.
She's not.
I'm 37, still listening to Sarah. It's like, yeah, man, that's like the peak time.
It'd be weird if you're like, I'm 4 years old and I love listening to Sarah.
I'm still listening to Sarah.
Still listening. Can't stop me. Yeah, it's funny.
It's very funny. All right. So as Tommy tipped off, we do have to get to the peanut gallery. I want to see best.
Those Facebook comments.
Yeah, the Facebook comments. I think we got quite a few Patreon comments here. Yeah,
nothing on the Twitter, but.
Oh, gotcha. We got some Patreon people who chimed in. And as always, if you want your comments guaranteed to be read, you got to get on that Patreon. It's only $3 a friggin' month, and you get bonus episodes every week, which, by the way, we got to record that, too. I forgot. this trip. All right. Let's get to the peanut gallery. So the first comment here is from James Buntrock, who says, I think Surfacing is one of the best pop albums of the 90s. Every track is good, great album to put on and just chill to. Too bad the association with the animal cruelty stuff seemed to turn people off from her music. Hard to listen to and not think of sad puppies. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically my thesis statement. I've been hammering home this whole time. So I'm going to, you know, hard agree with that. I kind of missed the whole like blow up with the adoption ad stuff. I, you know, just wasn't paying attention. So, you know, I consider myself fortunate. That's like sullied the music too much for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
I didn't realize. So maybe it's one of the reasons she's so big on adoptions is she's adopted. And
she is. Yeah.
And there's a weird part of her Wikipedia. It's like after she started her music career where it's like, and then she met her mom, although she didn't really want to. And, yes. And then it just moves on to the next paragraph.
It's one of those weird Wikipedia lines where it's like, how do you know she felt ambivalent? Yeah. Like, how do you know that?
Source needed. Citation needed.
It was something she had mixed feelings about because she obviously wanted to see the person, but deep down she knew that her real mother was the one that took her in. It's like, yeah. What are you talking about?
And she had like a really rough night of sleep the night before, so she was like kind of crabby.
that's like, oh, it's definitely she wrote this. Yes.
Oh, wait, yeah. Also, I mean, we got to talk about that thing with the stalker, which is crazy. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that was something that came up in the documentary, and I was kind of shocked by. She had, yeah, like this kind of really intense stalker who. He claimed that like the letters that he'd written her inspired the song Possession. That was kind of an early big song of hers, and he sued her about it, but he ended up taking his own life and during the lawsuit. It was this whole crazy thing that like I just wouldn't associate with her. I just wouldn't associate it with her like music. You don't think of like that kind of fandom. It was just a crazy fact that
very weird and probably like very fucked up time for her.
Yes.
Horrible. She's had a really hard life, it seems like.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, her music definitely shows that a little bit. Like one of the fun facts about her was that she made a Christmas album that's just very sad. She's like, yeah, Christmas is bad for me, you know?
Yeah.
My family, it's just like, you can tell she's gone through it. All right.
Christmas is a sad time. Yep. It can be sometimes. I know you don't think so, Tommy.
Well, my buddy James Murphy has some thoughts. Apparently, it'll break your heart.
It'll break your heart. That's a great song.
I love that song.
All right. Randy Ramos says Sarah McLachlan has a catalog of songs you would hear in a coffee shop and think, oh, this song is okay. Perfectly fine music and someone who does a lot of charity, but ultimately will only be remembered for sad animal commercials. God damn, Randy.
Rough.
That's brutal.
Randy, dig deeper, dude. Dig deeper, man. You gotta get out of the coffee shop, dude. You got to get out. You gotta put Surfacing on your Spotify right now. Give it a listen. Get high alone and listen to it.
Shovel up, Randy.
Get out of here, Randy. Bobby,
get out of here.
Billy, get out. Billy, take Randy. Yeah,
Billy. Billy, come on.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Just picture him like with his mouth next to a microphone. He's like starting to do it. No, Billy. Don't do it. Trevor Rodman says the only time you hear her now is on a sad pet adoption commercial. It's horrible that most people would associate you with that over any musical accomplishment. It's horrible that most people would associate you with that over any musical accomplishment is depressing. I think that's a run on there, brother. Great cause, obviously, but you know what I'm saying, hopefully. Yeah, I think so. Ron Trimbath says, every girl I dated in middle school owned surfacing. That's right. All both of them. Damn. Self burn.
Damn. I didn't know anyone that had surfacing in high school. I kept it a secret. I was like, that was one of those albums I was like, kind of, embarrassed, I guess, to like at the time, because, you know, that can crash your stock in high school popularity. But, I wish I knew some girls were into surfing. It would have been a great thing for me to talk about with them. Good icebreaker. I've been like rolling up to them, that three track run.
Check this out. Yeah. I burned this album for you. It's the whole album, but just in a different order.
Building a mystery's gone. We took that one off.
Oh, but that's my favorite one. You don't know anything.
You don't know.
Yeah. She's a building a mystery girl. Not for me. Not for me.
Such a specific need. Oh, yeah. You like Sarah McLachlan? Oh, but you like building a mystery?
Yeah.
This is the worst Seinfeld episode.
I'm bored until that. Yeah.
She's a building a mystery girl.
I'm an idiot guy.
Oh man. All right. Dan Clark says, well ahead of her time. I imagine a Lilith Fair tour would be even bigger than it was 20 years ago. Yep, that's what we're talking about.
Very much.
True. I would love to see that. Get Jewel out there. That'd be a nice time. All right. Lita Class writes, her voice really is angelic. Some of my favorite songs are Vox, Into the Fire, Good Enough, and the live version of Black, Deep Cuts. LOL. My brother actually introduced me to her after in my teen years. He felt bad. He advised my father against buying me a Green Day album after I thought he was cool. present day, I do believe he made up for it. All right. Well, there you go. That's the Patreon, like you said, nothing on Twitter. So I'll read, we got a lot of Facebook, but I don't have time to read all of them.
I will say, while you're looking at those, that they were going to bring back the Lilith Fair tour in like around 2010, but they didn't have enough ticket sales,
so
there wasn't enough interest in it, and
women taking off the map.
Ladies, you're off. Dudes, back on. Dudes, get on the map.
Billy, stay away from that map.
Billy, don't touch the map.
All right. On the Facebook, Michael Martin says, remarkable songwriter overshadowed by her animal welfare commercial. Yep, that's what we're hearing. Rachel Goldman says, her song on the Toy Story 2 soundtrack made me cry like a bitch. Yep. True.
Yep.
Meredith Dover says, building a mystery slaps.
Oh,
that's too bad, Meredith.
Not for me. Not for me. Not going to happen. Sorry.
I do want to reiterate that I like it too, Meredith.
I want to reiterate that I like it. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You're not flip flop on this time.
It's fine. It's no idea. Yeah, there's no idea. I'm Team Adia, baby.
The political attack of Tynan DeLong claims to not like building a mystery.
Yeah, it was the first song played on an iPod. Wow. Straight up, like when Steve Jobs was introducing the iPod, that was the first song that
is that true?
He played. Yeah.
What the hell?
You didn't see that in the 50 fun facts about Sarah McLachlan? That was one of them. That fact's fun as hell. That's a top 10 fun fact.
One of the facts is that she surfs, and they left that out?
Oh, bitch.
Crazy.
Yes.
That fact ain't
fun. I can confirm that. That is crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Courtney
should have been 80.
Yeah. Yep. He fucked up.
Alphabetically, it would have been.
You're just the guy booing Steve Jobs.
The miracle technology.
Nothing. We've never seen anything like it.
Oh, that's
the song was the top track of Steve Jobs' favorites playlist. That's crazy.
Wow.
There you go.
There you go.
Not for you. Courtney Gilmore says ice cream is highly underrated, and so is she. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I haven't really gotten into much the earlier stuff. I couldn't really get into it, and the stuff after surfacing, I couldn't really get into. But you know, a lot of people like Fumbling Toward Ecstasy. You know, that's kind of the number one for most people. So I'm still trying to get into that one. Mm-hmm. Just haven't done it, but I'll give Ice Cream a spin after this. See what's up with it.
Give it a couple licks.
Tasty licks.
Oh, Jeffrey Asmus says the best voice of the 90s. Sorry. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, I might confirm that. It's pretty up there for me.
Jared's not going to like that. Jason Staples says she's rad. I love the song she sings on that Delirium record. I wouldn't know about all that.
Don't know about that.
Seneca Stone says, first CD I ever shoplifted was Surfacing. Recently bought this vintage shirt to commemorate my love for Building a Mystery. I think we're seeing the type of people who like Building a Mystery. Thieves!
That's so cool that that's the first CD she shoplifted. That rocks.
That's so cool.
That's a baller-ass move.
You got it. I mean, hey. Steal this CD, you know. this shirt is cool. It's the shirt she posted is a picture of that album cover.
Oh shit! I gotta get this shirt.
You gotta That's get a fit. This shirt. You
need. I gotta get this shirt. You I need a new summer shirt. I gotta start repping Sarah McLachlan out in the world
as a conversation piece.
Yeah. This is kind of a first step to this, you know, kind of getting that out there. And yeah, I gotta get this shirt. Let people know what's up.
Get a shirt with the track list of the album and cross off. All right, that does it for the Peanut Gallery, and that brings us to the final segment of this show, which is where we rate the playlist. But before we do that, you get the floor. You get the floor for your final thoughts on Sarah McLachlan.
What
you got for us?
You know, I think I said everything that I wanted to say. I think, you know, if you are still thinking of Sarah McLachlan as the person from the Sad Dog commercial, you got to get over it, and you got to give Surfacing a chance, and you got to start at track number two. I think this is one of my top five albums of 1997, and just as a certified banger that stands the test of time. No skips. It's a beautiful, beautiful album, and Sarah McLachlan needs to be canonized in the critical community, and you know, more people need to talk about her, respect her, and you know, let's get the McLachlan Renaissance going. That's basically, you know, all I want. So
unfortunately, it's tough for that beautifully spoken. It's tough to get a portmanteau for that, though. The McLachlan Renaissance. Like, it's hard to
right. I tried. I don't know if you caught that. I tried almost for a second. I was like, can't quite do it. I thought of a lot of McLachlan puns beforehand, but I couldn't think of, you know. I thought, you know, I didn't say it, but I thought a fun way to start this conversation would have been McGlock the Gates.
I'm glad it got put in there somewhere. Yeah. That would have been trashy to miss that.
What's up, McGlockers? Mother Clockers.
McGlockineers.
I do want to also point out the importance of this album seemed it took such a dip, as you were saying. It was a top five albums of 19. I was like, top five albums all time? Nope. 90s? Nope. 1997.
Yeah, you know, well, 97 was a really great year for music. But I mean, you know, it's up there for me. It's up there. I feel like this one, you know, gets a lot of replay value more than, you know, a lot of stuff from that year for me. You know what? I'll say it. I think I'm playing Surfacing a little bit more than OK Computer, you know?
Whoa. So, wow.
Shots fired. Get at me, Radioheads. What's up? Let's do this. Yeah. But yeah, I am going to say it.
That's crazy. But
it's wild. This is my time. We're talking McLaughlin. That's what I'm saying. Shots fired at the Radioheads. I love OK Computer, but
so good. But this is this is good stuff. Tommy, yeah. I'm gonna let you take the lead here. What do you give this playlist out of 6?
I really loved listening to this album that I had not done a deep dive on. A lot of the albums of like 90s female singer songwriter albums I've played a lot, like Sheryl Crow, Tuesday Night Music Club, Liz Fair, Exile in Guyville, that I've given a lot of attention to. And this I never had. And I think I suffered from that thing that everyone was talking about of just like knowing Angel and I Will Remember You and thinking of it as like a schmaltzy, sentimental type thing, just kind of assuming it would all be like that. But hearing Adia really blew my mind and changed my world. I want to give this, I'm going to go with a 5 out of 6.
That's cool.
I really, really enjoyed it. Adia immediately went on to my spring playlist that only has 4 days left when I switched to the summer playlist, but it's going to be getting a lot of plays till then. So yeah, really enjoyed it. 5 out of 6 for me.
5 out of 6. I was thinking right along the same lines because I liked that song a lot. I loved Sweet Surrender. I Love You's great. You know, I want to dock for the last second switcheroo, but I'm not
going to
do it.
give a point for that last switcheroo.
That's true. I'm giving a point for that. So Angel is just if you can find a way in your hearts and minds to separate it from the dogs, it's a good time. Let those dogs out. I think I'm going to go with a solid, I think I'm going to go 4.8.
Sounded like you said 5 earlier. So
I was going 5. And I decided that I didn't want to be a copycat. So that's
the problem. Could do 5.2.
That's true. I was thinking about doing a little different. You know what? 5.1. I'll split the difference.
Yeah.
Perfect split between 4.8 and 5.2.
You get to rate it too, Tyner. What do you think?
Baby, we're going 7 out of 6 on this one. You know,
there you go.
Getting us to 18.2 out of 18. You know,
if I gotta be honest, you know, I would probably put a different song on there other than Angel, but I thought we needed to talk about Angel. Yes. But I, you know, there are other songs I like a little bit better than Angel, but whatever. I mean, I'm just splitting hairs at this point. Yeah. 7 out of 6. It's an amazing album. It's an amazing album.
Beautiful.
Get into it. Get into it. Billy, stay away. But the rest of you, get into it.
This has been so fun, man. Is there anything you would like to promote on the way out?
Yo, follow me on Instagram, Tynan WVH DeLong. And you can get my music takes and the stories that I'm usually popping off with. Catch me on Vimeo, Tynan DeLong. You can see some of my directing work. And, you know, I guess that's it. You know, Google me, see what's up. Follow if you want.
Google this man.
Google this.
Google this. Yeah, Google what
he needs. Yes, I flipped off the camera. It was hilarious.
That was good. That's good stuff. If you happen to live anywhere near Lafayette, Louisiana, or Houston, Texas, and you're listening to this as it comes out, I will be there. I'll be in Lafayette on Friday, and I will be in Houston on Saturday. Just check my social media for details and get on that Patreon. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband for bonus episodes every week. Tommy, what else?
Yes. So Sunday I'll be at Tom's show at the Sultan Room. Yes. I think they are almost sold out. So
it's almost sold out. I think there's only like 10 tickets left and it's they're going to go. So it's David Cross, baby. You're going to want to get in there. Great lineup. Jordan Jensen's on there too. And I can't remember. I think we had to switch somebody, but get over there. And then any others over there?
Yes. And then, Monday, the 21st, which is my old little birthday, I'll be over at Littlefield. So come to that show for the Big Weird. And then next Friday is me and Luke Moniz's show at Union Hall. So come to that. We're almost sold out of that one, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. 25th Friday, Union Hall.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, this was such a great time. Thanks so much.
I got one line to take us out if I can.
Yeah. Take us out.
Keep on McLaughlin in the free world. Keep on McLaughlin in the free world, baby.
You heard it. Keep it crispy, people. All right. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at corient.com. That's corient.com. Corient.com.